Welcome, my friends, to Scrimey River, the Gaming Advice Podcast. I'm Riley.
I'm Dennis.
And we're here to solve your problems. An exciting development this week, Dennis. People in the Discord might have already seen this.
We invented a new and novel way for you to give us your money.
Yes. Now, we weren't getting enough money. That's the problem.
That's the main problem.
The main problem is that we weren't getting enough money.
I ran the numbers and the depth of the money pit. It's just not up to code.
We have to dig deeper, and we have to fill the money. We have to fill the money pit with more money. And look, Channel Fireballers have helped us in that regard.
Tremendously. Channel.com, Coupon Code Smart.
Coupon Code Smart has done, unfortunately, some of the heavy lifting. I would have preferred to put that in my personal money pit rather than the shared money pit that Dennis and I have together. But Dennis, tell the listeners, what have you done?
Does anyone view the podcast? Do they just stare at Spotify while for the whole duration? No. You can head, fine folks, to patreon.com/scrimeyariver. And just support the podcast directly. Cut out every middleman, every middleman, woman, and child involved. Except introduce the new middleman of the Patreon cup, but that's by the by.
We're cutting out a different middleman, middle person, and adding in one of our own, one that takes 8% of all the money that you give us. But hey, that 92%, all mine, baby. Let's go.
And Riley, what tasty perks can one avail of on the Scrimey River Patreon?
So we got two levels here. We got two levels.
Keep it simple. You're busy people. You're wheeling and dealing.
You don't have time to read through all the different rewards. I mean, who's got the time?
I actually do hate when patrons have like 15 different reward tiers. And it's like, is the double platinum deluxe extra plus tier. It's like, okay.
Extra plus, you say? We should have had that. We have two. We have cheese bags. And fresh cheese bags.
Mm-hmm. You don't want to be a stale cheese bag.
There isn't a stale cheese bag option. Maybe that should be it. The stale cheese bag option, you get nothing.
Well, hang on. Cheese bag and fresh cheese bag implies that the default cheese bag is stale.
It applies a level of staleness.
It's like when you put asbestos free on a bag of crisps. It's like, hang on. What about all the other crisps on this aisle?
I don't immediately see the absence of fresh as being stale, but I do take your point that it certainly is more stale.
It's an implication for sure.
It has an implication of staleness. Anyway, if you want to be a cheese bag, you're going to get access to episodes ahead of time. Mm-hmm. 24 hours ahead of time before they come out. As soon as this thing is recorded, before they've even cooled down, right? You're getting these straight out the oven. We're putting these smart episodes, Dennis, on the windowsill to cool. And you can be a cheeky boy and come and steal it from the windowsill.
God, I hate that. And that's $2 an episode, Riley.
Yeah, just like that. You also get access to the premium part of my Discord, the subs-only area, exclusive, filled with some of the most raging nerds you've ever come across. And then, Dennis, what have we got for the fresh cheese bags?
For the fresh cheese bags, $5 an episode. Everything from the normal cheese bag, obviously, but... Mm-hmm. A little bit of game night, baby.
Yeah, let's go. We're going to play... I don't know what we're going to play, actually. We'll play something. Well, actually, you know what? We'll let them decide.
We'll put up a poll in the exclusive Discord and people can vote. And once a month, we're going to come in, hang out, play a game. Maybe it'll be a game that we can play with listeners and stuff like that.
No, it's not going to be a Death Stranding.
We'll
get to that in just a second. But no, we could... Yeah, we'll play something dumb or funny or interesting. Do you know what would be a good one? Dennis speedruns Metal Gear Solid.
Alone, and Riley goes and does something else with this.
No, time. I'll hang out. I'll help you. I can be like the strat. I can be your. You know,
for people who have played Metal Gear with me, watching, they're like, "Wow, you play this so fast!" Once you put the name speedrun in there, it's a whole other kettle of fish.
Okay, Dennis plays it very fast.
Dennis plays Metal Gear Solid 3 and skips all of the cutscenes.
I think you could play one. Like you could play one in a single stream. I think
two is the shortest. I think
two is shorter.
By a mile, yeah.
That surprises me.
If you skip all the cutscenes, 2 is like a 2.5 hour game.
I remember. I remember it being very long, but that just might have been because it felt like watching a TV.
Yeah, time high.
A full TV series. Anyway.
The Patriots are trying to control the digital flow of information, really.
All that sort of stuff. It's going to be great. Get to patreon.com/halfasshistory. Go to patreon.com/halfasshistory. And while you're on Patreon, while you've already got the credit card out for patreon.com/halfasshistory, head over to patreon.com/scrimeyriver.
Now, Riley. We've set some goals.
Yeah. Now, this was an interesting conversation.
So, we've set some goals that are lofty. And listeners, I really tried to negotiate here. I really did. So, goal number one.
So, sometimes, just to set the scene, sometimes Dennis and I will, you know, as most entertainment personalities will, we'll be having a conversation. And then halfway through, we'll be like, hang on, stop. this will be funny, let's do it on the podcast, right? And then we have the conversation on the podcast, but it's a little more animated, it's a little sillier, it's a little, it's more designed for media consumption. This was one of those conversations that normally we would have been like, let's do it on the podcast, it'll be funnier. We didn't have this conversation on the podcast. What we're about, what are you about to hear from Dennis? I mean, obviously it'll be exaggerated because that's just who Dennis is, but broadly speaking, I'm sure this is what happened.
So we have three tiers. Number one, for 215 episodes. Three goals. At 215 episode, we'll launch a Scry Me River merch store. You can get your cheese bag merch. You can get all, we'll print a little cheese bag on a mask, all that good stuff for you. We'll print a shirt that just says, I am the asshole on it, I guess, if you
That's very good, actually. Yeah.
I'm with the asshole and the little
My butthole is ensorcelated.
Magical Butthole Society.
Magical, yes. Yes, I've got an MBS.
Yes, I've got an MBS. MBA might even be better. Magical Butthole Association.
There we go. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, ask me about my MBA.
Ask me about my MBA.
Yeah, beautiful. Very good. All right, yep. So we got, we're going to have some hot merch. And that will happen once we get to 215 episodes. So go and sign up. Merch, hot merch on the way. Now, that's one that I'm hoping we get because that'll be fun to implement.
And now, folks, we get to the goals that I was fighting for.
Yes.
I was really fighting for. 500 an episode. Vinyl printing, baby. Get that vinyl.
Now, you know, exalted listener, I don't want to go through the hassle of printing.
Riley has complained about it on and off the podcast. Messaged me privately off air saying, we're not doing this. Please stop bringing it up.
It's so much hassle, right? Getting something pressed on vinyl. It's going to be such a pain in the ass. Dennis wanted
no
to do this.
No one's going
to
buy him.
Dennis wanted to do this as the top goal, right?
I want to do this for 1,000 an episode, which is ridiculous.
Which is ridiculous. Probably because, you know, we're like, oh, we'll put it as a joke. We're never actually going to get it, right?
Yeah.
And then at 500, we should have. What did you first suggest at 500, Dennis?
Well, which is now the 1,000 tier because you refused to come down on it, which was Riley Streams Death Stranding.
Can I tell
you? Riley would not accept less, a penny below 1,000 an episode to stream Death Stranding.
It's not even that. It's not about the money. It is the fact that if I'm going to be compelled to do something, right? If you gave me the choice of, hey, I need you to produce an episode of your podcast, your Tin Pot Gaming Advice podcast, I need you to go through all the hassle and the struggle of getting that on vinyl, right? Or I need you to stream Death Stranding. I know which one of those is going to be more stressful and time-consuming. And I tell you this, it is not the vinyl. How long is Death Stranding playthrough? Dennis is on howlongtobeat.com right now.
I'm on there right now. 58 and a half hours.
I don't think it'd take that long to get the vinyl sorted.
No, there's no way.
There's no way, right?
Now, what we could... Oh, my God. This is how you know it's a Kojima game. The completionist, 100%, is just double.
Yeah. Of course. I mean, the only one that's worse that I've come across is Persona 5, which is like 10,000 hours or something. Anyway, that is how little I want to play. I mean, I know that playing Death Stranding for 50 or however many thousands of hours it's going to be, I know that's going to be more hassle than a vinyl printing.
Yeah.
So,
I hope we get to the merch store. I'm actually excited.
The merch store would be very fun. Yeah, I'm in the process of setting up the merch store for Half-Life History. It is hassle, but it's fun hassle at the end of the day. It's definitely hassle, but should be good.
That's
anyway.
It, folks. Head to patreon.com/scrimmyriver. Head to scrimmyriver.com to just be redirected to the Channel Fireball store with our code already input. Get shop and get your magic cards, get your Pokemon cards, get your Flesh and Blood cards. Riley, if you could tell people out there to buy one magic card this week, what would it be? Riley's hot tip financial advice.
My hot tip financial advice. Which card should you be buying?
Arun's Epiphany?
I don't know. I feel like that one probably missed the boat on that one a little bit. Yeah, it's probably some weird commander card, isn't it?
Yeah, is it like Cultivate or something? You know
what I mean?
Like,
I mean, Cultivate's a common that's been printed 10,000 times. If you wanted to buy out the market of Cultivate.
Buy hundreds of them,
yeah. Yeah, buy thousands. Buy every single copy of Cultivate ever. That would be a very, very difficult thing to do. I hear Daybreak Ranger is going to be big pretty soon. Heard that from Brian Kibler 10 years ago. Did you hear about that?
No, I don't remember.
He bought basically every copy.
Oh,
of Daybreak
I have
Ranger
seen that.
He could,
has stacks of them. Yeah,
because he thought it was going to be like the biggest. Because it tapped to kill Delvers. He thought it was going to be huge. But no, look, it didn't end up working out. There was also the Seance guy.
Well, that was I don't know what the hell was going on there.
Do you remember that?
Yeah, I remember.
Some guy bought out as many copies of Seance
and then put a bounty on someone to like make top eight of a tournament with it.
Basically. If someone ever made I think it was top eight of a GP.
Yeah.
Like a $10,000 prize or something, because you'd make it back with 10,000 copies of Seance you'd be able to sell. I don't know. It's probably some dumb commander card. What's good in standard? Memory Deluge?
Yeah.
Memory Deluge is really good in standard. Maybe get that. I don't know. Has that spiked yet? Auron's Epiphany, I think. You probably missed that. Maybe the Meat Hook Massacre?
Meat Hook Massacre is pretty well known too, though.
Yeah, that's probably true. I don't know. Auron's Epiphany. You know what it is? Honestly, do you know what it is? It's probably something like Demi-Lich.
Really?
Yeah, Demi-Lich. I think Demi-Lich is just waiting for the... It's one of those cards, like Arclight Phoenix. It's one of those cards. It's a mythic. You can cast it for free. Like, something's going to happen with it eventually.
Well, get in there and get across it.
Eventually, Demi-Lich will be broken, right?
Uh-huh.
And when it does, it'll skyrocket. And if it doesn't, I don't know. You're probably not going to take that much of a loss on it. Because it can't, I don't know how much lower it can get. How much is Demi-Lich worth?
It's like $20.
Is it really?
Yeah.
No. Is it really?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. All right, maybe not Demi-Lich then. Whoops. Have people already broken this card? I'm surprised.
Average price on Charmander Marketplace right now, $15. If you want to get a near mint, well, you can get it for $12.69 from the fine folks over at Gemini Games.
Maybe that's already where you start. Maybe that's the floor. I don't know. Do you know, I've done by Meat Hook Massacre, $40. Oh my goodness. Do you know what I thought was always going to be a good spec? Jace Rin's Prodigy.
That wouldn't be a good spec. That was like an $80 card for a while.
No, but it went down. I think it bottomed out at like $15 or $20.
That's what it is right now.
Hmm? Is that still where it is? Yeah. See, I bought a bunch of copies of it because I'm like, this card's going to be huge. Do you know why? It's a double faced card, so they can't just reprint it whenever they need to, right?
Yeah. Like, well, it has now to be. They print a lot of those, but yeah, I know what you mean.
But it's they can't just be like, oh, we'll put this in a core set, right?
It can't be the only one of its kind. Yeah.
Exactly. It has like an incredibly unique effect. Right, as a looter that turns into a planeswalker. And it was so dominant in standard and also saw some play in modern for quite some time.
I remember being at every deck had four. Yeah. That was unbelievable.
Like, Abzan decks would splash blue for Jace. Anyway, turned out to be wrong about that one because it didn't end up seeing any play at all. So all my copies of Jace, Friend's Prodigy, are just sitting there. But, you know, whatever.
This is also right. We should say this. This is the last week to avail of Marketplace Madness.
Oh, really? The madness is the madness is nearly.
Madness is finally coming to a close.
They say, will this madness ever end? Yes, it will. Next week.
Yes, October 31st. Yeah. Halloween! Spooky, spooky madness. Do you like Halloween?
Not at all. I think it's very silly.
What do you think it's... Hey, that's a traditional Irish holiday.
I think it's silly in a way... Like, I enjoy silliness, but I think this... No, silly is the wrong word. I think... Halloween... You know what annoys me? It annoys me. And we're going to get a little political here.
Ooh.
It annoys me because there is so much... of America in particular. And I do associate Halloween with America.
Halloween in the sense of trick-or-treating, bopping for apples.
Or, you know...
beating up the rival karate studio kid in a skeleton costume stuff.
Is the Karate Kid a Halloween film?
They all dress up as skeletons and they beat up Dan.
I've never seen Karate Kid.
You've never seen the Karate Kid?
No. Isn't Die Hard the Halloween film?
Die Hard's a Christmas film.
Okay.
What do you think Karate Kid's about?
Karate Kid is about a kid who's getting bullied at school and he goes to Mr. Miyagi and he gets him to wash his car for free in exchange for karate lessons, and then the kid goes and beats up his bully.
Well, Riley, you'll be surprised to hear the washing the car is the karate lesson.
The real karate lessons for the cars that we washed along the way.
It is, though.
Okay.
Like, he teaches them wax on, wax off, and paint the fence, and then those are the moves he uses because he's got the muscle memory built in.
Sure.
There's
something about a flying crane kick at the end that it was illegal or that he shouldn't have done.
Correct.
Yeah, I don't know.
I remember this because we were on the Halloween tangent. We branched off that into the Karate Kid tangent.
We'll come back to that.
I remember Pete Holmes once describing podcasting as you put over the course of the podcast, he just put a bunch of irons in the fire and then you slowly take them out one by one. Yeah.
All right. Well, let's take the Halloween thing out. In the United States, there's, you know, religion plays a very big part in public life. I would argue that people are very, like, quite overtly religious, generally speaking. Definitely compared to my life experience living in places like Australia and Europe. And it annoys...
Lawless, godless places.
There's godless places where the light and love of Jesus Christ does not shine. and it frustrates me that they are so ready to be upset and offended by anything that remotely... you know, Harry Potter, banned, you know? Oh, magic cards? Demonic, satanic, ban them, right? But they're out trick-or-treating. Like, it's a pagan festival, right? Like, it's based on some old... Does it have a Christian origin?
No.
I don't think so. It's probably... I imagine it was one of those...
it's an Irish pagan festival.
Holidays that Christianity... I mean, there's All Saints Eve or something. I don't know. But I imagine... I mean, Christianity was very good at nicking other people's holidays. So maybe they did that. I don't know. I think it's dumb. I don't like it. I know I'm going to... This is in the same vein as Riley doesn't like dogs. So, you know, I'm not making myself any fans or friends by saying this, but no, I think Halloween is...
You don't like dogs. You like cats, though.
I love cats, man. Cats are great.
Cats are low maintenance.
Cats are low maintenance. They don't slobber everywhere and they go and poo in a box in the corner for your convenience.
Yeah, it's pretty compelling, honestly.
Yeah.
Well, Riley, we've reached the 15-minute mark. It's probably time to start the podcast.
We've alienated all the people. We've alienated all the Christians and all the people who love Halloween, so...
And dog lovers.
And dog lovers as well.
There's very few people left in the world.
So there are atheist, no-nonsense cat lovers still listening.
I don't know if I want to hang out with those people.
I mean, I'm one of those people, so I don't know if I want to hang out with them.
All righty. We got a question here, Riley, from your fix.
My fix?
Not just anyone's fix. Specifically for you, dear listener. I've got an interesting anecdote to follow up Somebody Birds' story on the podcast this week to test Riley's theory that he wouldn't have a problem if this happened to a large company. So, as you recall.
For those of you who tuned in last week, you'll remember that Somebody Birds
ripped off his friend's brother, basically.
Kind of. It was, I mean, go back and listen to it. But basically, there was a thing where, like, debatably, someone was ripped off, and I was like, I don't like this because it's a person, but I wouldn't mind if it were a corporation.
They obeyed the letter of the law, not the spirit of the law, etc.
So, here's your fix this question.
And I said, well, you were like, I don't like this. And I was like, Riley, would you care if this happened to a company? And you were like, absolutely not. So this is related to that.
Yeah.
I casually dabble in the sports betting industry with a couple of bucks a week for fun. The company I bet through, a $1.5 billion company, offered a promo of $100 in site credits if I made a singular $1 bet in a particular game. I get these site credits whether or not I win or lose my bet. So I claim my $100 in credits, but the catch is that I cannot withdraw this money until I bet all of 100 of it again. This is very common on betting apps, things like that. You have to play through your free credit.
You can't just get the money and immediately withdraw it.
Often you have to play through it more than once, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
You have to launder it.
Kind of.
You have to launder the money. All right, okay, I didn't know that.
So yeah, the catch is that I cannot withdraw the money until I basically play through it and bet all of it at least once. Mm-hmm. Whatever I win from that, though, I can withdraw. So... I pick a game, and I place $50 on one team to win and $50 on the other team to win. Whatever happens, you know, guaranteeing that one of the bets will win, and then when that happens, I win $95. I effectively turned $100 of Monopoly money into $95 of cash money in my pocket. Riley, am I the asshole in this situation? As this is clearly not the site's intended use of the credits, but also not technically against the rules.
Oh no, you ripped off a gambling website.
Yeah, gambling websites especially.
How could you? How could you take advantage of a company that is built upon taking advantage of other people?
Other people's either A, inability to control themselves, or B, misunderstanding of probability.
Unbelievable, your fix.
You can live a little dangerously, Riley, and run this gamut on like a soccer game, because they could draw.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, okay, so I guess you don't do that, though, do you?
No, you have to do it like a football game or tennis or something.
What football are you talking about?
American football, I don't think, has draws.
But when you say football, you mean American football?
Well, I'm trying to be...
As an Irish person?
Well, no, I say football, and I say nothing. I never talk about American football.
What are you referring to? When you say football, generally speaking, what does that mean for you?
Soccer.
Okay. So what do you call Gaelic football?
Ga.
I'm going down
call
the ga.
Call it ga.
Okay. G-A-A.
Gaelic Association. Gaelic something? Amarok
Gaelic Association.
Gaelic Asshole Association. What does GAA stand for?
Amateur? GAA.
No. Athletics Association.
Athletics Association. Yeah, because footy for me is Australian rules football.
Aussie rules rugby.
No, it's not rugby. It's not rugby. Because if you go to New South Wales or Queensland and say football or footy... No,
I'm never going to go to those places.
You mean rugby league. Anyway... Doesn't matter.
Hand egg and football.
Hand egg, football. Let's go. I don't have a problem with this. I don't care about this at all, Dennis.
Now, I admit, you did make it a little easier, your fix, by picking a company that is not particularly, like, again, very hard to feel bad for a gambling company.
It'd be funny if it's like, now there's a hospital down the road. There's an orphanage down the road that offers...
Yeah, and they leave their... They gave me $100 of free bets on orphan fighting, and I chose one, 50 on one and 50 on the other.
going down the old orphan fights tonight. Here we go. That's going to be good. No, I don't care about this at all. I don't care about this at all.
I didn't think you would.
No.
I had a very similar situation to this, even worse, frankly. I think I might have told the story on the podcast before, but...
Is this the £10...
Yeah, well, it's a casino I took. I showed you when you came over.
Yeah, this is very good.
The Silver Strand in Bray, which is my hometown. If you want to Google it, it is a crappy-looking casino on the seafront. They used to do €10 free bets. They still do. They texted me today, Riley. I'll read you the text. They texted me maybe 15 minutes before we start recording the podcast, I got a text from the Silver Strand. And that text reads, "Hi Dennis, a 10 euro free play, all caps, has just been added to your account. Voucher expires this Thursday at 11:59 PM. Collect at checkpoint." So you know, they're still running this gamut. But what they used to do, very rinky-dink casino, they would offer you a free bet, they get you a text, and you go in, and they didn't have any of the infrastructure set up to give you a free bet.
Because some casinos will have like little cards and stuff.
Now they do have a card, and I'll get to that in a second. But at the time, you'd walk in, they'd just hand you a 10 euro note. And then you'd walk out.
So the manager has seen this on like other casinos. You know, he went on holiday somewhere, and they're like, "Free 10 euro." He's like, "That's good. I'm going to take that back to the Bray Shoreside Casino, right?"
Yeah.
And I'm going to take that back to the lucky Silver Dollar. And what's it called? The Silver Strand?
Silver Strand.
He gets back and he's like, "All right, we're doing 10 euro free bets." And the people are like, "Well, we don't have cards." I was like, "Just give them 10 euros. It'll be fine." They definitely won't leave the casino with the 10 euros in their wallet and spend it on beer.
That's exactly what we did, because it's right next to the bar. We would go ahead and just buy 2 pints next door.
So you just go in, you'd collect the 10 euros and go straight to the bar and buy two. But wasn't what was the guy who did it? Because he gave himself a little secret name, didn't he?
Oh, my friend Sean.
Yeah.
You had to register as a Vantage Club member.
Yeah.
And he registered as Jacques Package.
Jack Package, but he insisted it was pronounced Jacques Package.
And then after one day, they did like a raffle thing, and he got to go up and spin a big wheel while they were there.
Yeah.
And they went up, and there's like Jacques Package, and he was like, "Jacques Package, please." Yes. Thank you very much. But no, eventually, right, they did institute these cards where you get 10 euro credit on it, and then we would do basically what your fix did, with a little bit of a worse outcome, where we would just go to the roulette table, put it on red, and half the time you get 4 points.
Yep.
Yeah. 48% of the time you get
it all evens out in the end, roughly, apart from the zeros. One final thing before we move on from this. Your fix, you're in the clear. Dennis and I used to play Apex, right? I'm thinking of starting Apex again. I've given it up.
Maybe we'll do it for the game night.
But maybe we'll play some Apex. It would be fun. New season coming up pretty soon. But do you remember, Dennis, how... So you and I, we'd make up nicknames for stuff in Apex, right?
Yeah.
And they would run through like a treadmill of... They'd end up with name... We'd end up with a nickname, and then using that nickname, we'd give it another nickname.
Iterate, yeah.
We ended up calling... So in Apex, like... care packages drop from the sky and they land. They usually have like cool equipment, like high level equipment and whatever. We ended up calling them toilets or dunnies or whatever, right? Do you remember why? Because it was a care package, right? Yeah. Which became a care package, which became care a jack package, which became the jacks. And in Ireland, the jacks is the toilets. So I started calling them the dunnies or the toilets. And they kind of look like portaloos. So it kind of works.
They look a little bit like portaloos.
They look a little like portaloos. So it kind of works.
I've always done that with my friends. Like when we used to play Call of Duty 3.
Yep.
This is pure gaming. We used to play Call of Duty 3 with two Xboxes and 8 people and
yes,
two TVs.
Perfect.
And like one in the sitting room, one in the kitchen.
Yep.
You know, LAN connected. And oh, premium gaming experience right there.
Yeah.
But we had a place that had like a little gate in it. Checkpoint Charlie. Easy. Yep.
Very good.
We had a fountain that my friend Andy used to always hide in. That was Fort Andrew. Easy.
Oh, not fountain, but Fort
no,
Andrew.
Fort Andrew.
Yeah, that's good.
Like, Is it Andrew? Get him.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
There was a place that just had a dead cow, Checkpoint DC. Like all that stuff.
That's really good.
And then I think I told you about the foosball league we had when I was in secondary school.
Go on.
I was manager of the foosball league.
I don't remember what the story is, but let's hear it again.
I was manager of the foosball league, and between, as you'd imagine, my many, many lovers I took as the manager of the foosball league, I had to actually play some games.
Between all the time that you had, you know, that you were just rooting.
exactly.
Just with the infinite sex appeal of being in such a position of such power. Yeah. Come all to the Dennis Stranjak experience.
Come all indeed. Tommy and I would, when we played, we would invent, to intimidate the other team, we would invent names for all the moves. They were never any real moves. So every time Tommy would do something, they're like, "Oh, Texas two-step, classic,
yes,
let's go.
Yes,
Interstellar Overdrive, baby, let's do it." Like all this stuff.
Yeah. As though you had some kind of plan that you were... Mm-hmm. Yeah,
perfect. You know, you run a play in American football. You're like, "Okay, we're going to do this, we're going to do it." And like, we did exactly that.
Yeah, we're going to do the Virginia Silverback or whatever, yeah.
Mm-hmm, The Silver Strand.
The Silver Strand. We're going to do the Jacques Package Silver Strand.
The Jacques Package Silver Strand. Jacques Package. Oh my God. All right, we got plenty. I feel like we got a lot more meat out of the Orphic question than I expected.
Yeah, we did. Okay. Our next question comes to us from Zubata.
It's Zubat.
who asks, back when I was in high school, I spent a lot of time playing Commander with one of my friends. He was my only other friend that played Magic, so we'd almost just play 1v1 Commander against each other, and we each only had one deck. This is a
classic. Truest form of the game.
A classic experience here. I would play blue-green Grufix Ramp, and he would play mono-red Zerillion of the Claw. I can see Dennis is highlighting this on the dock. He's about to go to scryfall.com and look up this card. Yeah, I don't know what this card is either. It's
Zerillion of the Claw.
It's going to be some weird three red deck. No, oh my goodness, it's from legend. Mirage.
One red tap, search your library for a dragon card and put it into play as though it were just played. Shuffle your library afterwards. That creature is unaffected by summoning sickness. Remove that creature from the game at the end of any turn?
At the end of any turn. This turn? I'll do it in 100 turns. So Oracle, search your library for dragon permanent card, put it on the battlefield, it gains haste, and exile at the beginning of the next end step.
You get to fling dragons from your deck at people.
No, it's a dragon sneak attack, but from your library.
Sorry, not fling. Fling is a real term.
Dragon sneak attack, but from your library.
Yeah. Okay. That's actually all right. That's kind of cool.
It's a pretty powerful effect, given it's only 3 mana, actually. You can get some monsters in it. I guess that's why the card's $20. Anyway, there you go. That's Riley's hot economic tips. Zerillion of the Claw. Let's go. Anyway.
He would play Mono Red Zerillion of the Claw, which is kind of like a dragon.
Oh, you're reading now,
deck.
Are you?
I'm taking it over. Wow. I am the captain now.
Okay, let's go.
He would end up killing me with a bunch of flyers pretty often, so eventually I put a copy of Hurricane into my deck. For those who don't know, it's a sorcery for X and a green that deals X damage to each creature with flying each player.
I love this.
Don't need to explain Zerillion of the Claw.
That's so good. Zwoo, that's like, now everyone will know what Zerillion of the Claw is. I don't need to explain that. Hurricane, a reasonably well-known card that goes, I think, all the way back to Alpha. No, I definitely better explain that one. That's so funny, dude.
In Miley's mirror, I can see him Googling.
That is so funny. Hurricane does go all the way back to Alpha. I was correct. Yep, go on.
So yeah, so basically destroys all the flyers,
yep,
broadly speaking. He didn't like me putting in a card that specifically hosed his deck, as he felt like I was being too competitive and trying too hard to win, while from my perspective, I was merely trying to find a way to deal with his creatures and not die while playing colors with not very much removal. Mm-hmm. Playing blue-green, that's true. I ended up taking it out of the deck, and as it was creating tension, wow, I didn't want to lose my only magic friend over something so silly, but even to this day, I feel like I wasn't really in the wrong there. So, was I the magic asshole in this situation? It's interesting, Zubat, because they basically are saying you shouldn't pre-board against me.
Mm.
That's unfair, which in a vacuum is kind of true, but in the only two people who play magic meta that you're playing in, yeah, it's kind of hard to draw that line.
Yep. It's interesting. This is an interesting situation because you're not in the wrong, right? But you still did the right thing. That's at the end of the day. Pardon?
Oh, he took. Yeah,
like
yeah,
you're not in the wrong.
He was in a defensible position.
Yeah, you're in a defensible position, but your retreat here, or your quote unquote backing down, was actually still the right thing to do, right? Mm-hmm. Because your friendship with this person is more important than one card in a commander.
Their friends being a little bit. I think I'd be annoyed if I was their friend, though.
And I think you'd have every right to be, right? But I think digging your heels in is just the wrong move every time.
Well, do you think their friend dug their heels in?
No, the thing is, it's what Zubat's done, they're blameless. Right?
But I would be annoyed if I was Zubat's friend as well.
Why?
Wouldn't you?
Why? Because they took out the hurricane?
Because they put in the hurricane.
If I was Zubat's friend, I think Zubat's friend has no right to be annoyed here. You can put whatever cards you want in your deck.
Of course you can.
Right?
But it's the spirit of the law, letter of the law.
What do you mean? Putting a hurricane in your deck.
You're meant to build a commander deck.
This is a deck that you're only ever playing against a thing with flyers. It's one card in 99 other cards. There's no issue with putting a hurricane in your deck.
Well, no, it's because Zubat is building his deck to beat his friend's deck.
No,
or is his friend just building
Zubat
deck
is not building their deck to beat their friend here. They are putting one hurricane in their deck.
But they wouldn't put that in normal circumstances.
They're not playing in normal circumstances.
I suppose. I don't know. It's different.
I don't think there's anything. I mean, I did this when I started playing like very casually. I mean, we all know about the main deck Plummet. For those of you who don't know, one time I was at a draft. I didn't know you weren't allowed to pre-board, or you're not supposed to pre-board. This is like, I think, one of the first ever drafts that I did. Steven at the table was bragging about opening a Thundermaw Hellkite. So before I played him, I put in a Plummet in my deck before we started playing. Again, not supposed to do that. I know that now. But in this situation, like, I remember when we used to play, when I played, like, you know, kitchen table magic, for want of a better term, with you know, we just played 67 cards I own decks, right?
Sure.
We had cards in there that were terrible, but were very good against.
So how, do you think it's also a fair game for Zubat's friend to play, like, a boil?
Destroy all islands?
Yeah.
Well, that touches on a different area because that's mass land destruction, right? And mass land destruction.
Well, I thought you could put any cards in your deck.
You can't.
I thought we were living in Riley's libertarian utopia here.
Okay, listen here. Listen here. It's fine for Zubat to have put the Hurricane in their deck. It's also fine for their friend to be upset about it.
You said their friend had no right to be upset about it.
No, I didn't say that. I said that it's. I said that you're doing the right thing, right?
From a social standpoint,
by pulling it out.
You said their friend had no right to be upset about it. Roll the tape.
Roll the tape? I don't know if I said that, but if I said that, all right, fine. They don't have any right to be upset about it in the sense that, like, you can put whatever card in your deck. You can't, like, you don't.
And that bends the rules? They didn't do anything wrong?
Yeah. You can, like, sorry, maybe I should refine my comments. You don't have the right to be upset about it in the sense that, yes, they haven't done anything, like, you can feel whatever you want at the end of the day. You can be upset about whatever you want, right? How reasonable it is for you to be upset about something, ultimately, that's what we're debating here.
Do you think it'd be reasonable for Zubat to be upset if their friend put a boil in their deck because they only ever played against a blue-green player?
I mean, I'd be upset if... Yes. I don't like mass land destruction in Commander decks.
I don't like mass creature
generally.
Destruction. Every creature in Zubat's friend's deck probably has flying.
Yeah. And Zubat's probably playing a deck without many flyers and blue-green, or maybe with blue. But I think there is a difference between Hurricane and Boil.
I agree.
Like, I think there is a difference between those two cards in terms of their impact. Like, you know, one is destroying half of the lands, the other one is destroying...
Both legal and commander. I had to look that up because I didn't think it would be, but
it is.
No,
it is. It definitely is. I mean, Armageddon is legal in commander, so, you know...
Yeah, but that's more equal.
That's true. Yeah, Boil is going to be a more one-sided Armageddon a lot of the time. I think that Zubat has a clean record here because you listened to what your friend was upset about and you took the high ground.
No, you did the right thing objectively. Yes. We're pivoted now. We're taking a different iron end.
Okay.
Do you think their friend's justified in being annoyed?
With the Hurricane?
Yeah.
Not really. Like a little bit, I guess.
I'm just saying a little bit. I'd be annoyed.
I don't think it's that big.
I don't think I'd stop playing.
No.
But I think I'd be annoyed.
But then you say to Boil, I think Boil you would be annoyed about because it's a much more hateful card, but maybe Hurricane is as hateful against a Mono Dragons deck.
Even if it's not about being as hateful, like it's...
You can rebuild after a sweeper. I mean, if you're playing a creature deck and you can't beat a sweeper...
Yeah, it's a one-sided sweeper though.
So? Like, it's Commander. The Plague Wind is playable in Commander.
Not in this blue-green deck.
No, well, I guess not. But I think it's a bit of a... I don't think it's a fair comparison, Boil to Hurricane. There's a line somewhere, and for me, it exists between Hurricane and Boil. There you go.
You know what this conversation has done to me, Ryan, that I have not felt in a very long time?
You want to play Commander again?
I kind of want to play a game of Commander.
That's unbelievable. How has this happened, Zubat? What the hell, man?
I don't know why. Just talking about all these cards. It's got a little twinkle in my eye. Maybe I'll go in and buy
Azurillion of the Claw.
Get my hands on Azurillion of the Claw. I had to tab over to remember the name of the card. I'd already forgotten.
No, I think you weren't the magical asshole for sure. You were the opposite of that because you did the thing that was perceived to be wrong, which I don't think it was. And then you listened to your friend's concern, pulled it out. I think if anyone is the asshole, it's your mate. But I think they also have at least some grounds to be annoyed that like you're putting in a deck that hard focus them. But then it's one card, man. It's one card.
It's a principle thing.
Well, then it's okay. Let's say then that if you're playing against, let's say that you and I have two decks, you beat me every single time. I'm just not allowed to improve my deck to have it beat yours.
Yeah, of course not. That's what Super Smash Brothers was.
Okay, all right. Well, if you're not going to take the question seriously, like I think it's fine to change your deck a little bit to try to.
It is fine, but like the problem is putting in a card that is bad in most situations, but only good in this situation. That's the problem. If you were to take that deck to an FNM,
you would not start with
a Hurricane in it.
No, there's no way you'd have a Hurricane. That's sure. That's for sure. Yeah.
That's the thing. That's the difference. And you wouldn't have a Boil in the red one either. It's crazy too.
Mm.
Well, might not be actually multiplayer, but like broadly speaking. Well, it's more likely that people have islands than it is that they have flyers.
This is about rage on, but I think you're 100% of the clear. Don't worry about it.
Let us know what you think. bit.ly/itsRiley'sDiscord. Join Riley's Discord?
Join Riley's Discord.
Join Riley's Discord.
Yep. Dennis, the question from last week.
Previously on Smar.
It's here. Let's go.
I saw you delete a question for next week.
Because I know that you're going to tease it, and I don't want to tease
Uncle
it.
Uncle Susan, next no. week, get me your question.
No. I don't. Oh, man. I was really hoping you wouldn't say the name of it.
Riley, this happened earlier. So Riley was like, I was like, is there a question here from last week? And Riley was like, I'm not telling you. I went to the doc from last week. I deleted the questions, so you can't see it. And I went into the version history and found it. Dug it up, Carl.
Because Dennis keeps teasing questions for next week. It's so annoying, dude.
Next time on Smar, we'll get to Uncle Susan's question.
Okay. All right. Go ahead.
One day, I hope like it's like a soap opera, and we just don't.
Oh, what? It's just left on a cliffhanger?
Lost the sense of time. And then, episode 300 of Smar. No, Riley, you know what that question is then?
It's the vinyl.
It's the B-side on the vinyl.
Vinyl. Yeah. All right. Let's go. As long as it's not Carl, me playing Death Stranding, I'm not arguing. Let's go.
I hear you quiver with anticipation. You've been waiting with bated breath for a week, I'm sure. So, I have a Zelda franchise question here. That's one for you, Riley. I'm a very big Zelda fan and has been my favorite franchise since I was a child. I am 34 years old for reference. Congratulations. See, now,
exalted listener, you're going to learn, as Dennis goes, oh, there's a question for you, Riley. This is going to prove once and for all. I mean, not that Dennis we needed the proof. Question. Dennis doesn't read the questions.
Oh, I can see my name mentioned
yes.
here.
Okay. Yeah.
The very first game I beat as a child of 7 was the first Legend of Zelda with a handcrafted guide made by my father on a grid sheet notebook where he mapped each screen with every secret in the game as well as every dungeon. So there's sentimental
cool dad.
Value for sure. Holy
what
crap!
A cool dad.
He had to beat the whole like that dad's name. GameSpot.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like,
please call me Game. Mr. Spot was my father.
Spot my father's
oh, jeez.
That said, I've played and beat every Zelda game since I've got my hands on, and it has been a personal goal and fun thing. But 2 years ago, oh, here we go, right? I can smell it on the horizon. I bought Breath of the Wild finally after waiting for quite a while to get it and had a very Dennis experience. I just wasn't having fun. And so as 2020 came along, I just sort of set it to the side and had planned to pick it back up at some stage. I see. Well, I recently went back and tried to pick it up again. Once again, I realized I just wasn't having fun. The time it takes to complete everything is just so daunting. I find that the individual mechanics are not something...
not something I mind in small amounts.
I mind in small
Dennis
amounts.
Dennis is having real trouble here.
Sorry. What happened was... So the word I is missing. So it says, not something mined in small amounts. And I was like with a pickaxe? And then I was off the beaten track completely. The individual mechanics are not something that bother me in small amounts, but as a whole, I find the whole thing very taxing. I want to finish this game and not just watch a video to see everything, but I'm starting to feel like that is my only recourse. What should I do to deal with this feeling of what feels like a life goal failure? Whoo! Stakes?
This is... Oh man.
Game sucks, bro.
It doesn't... That I will not be accepting criticism of Breath of the Wild at this time, okay?
But, well, you should not have put this question in then.
But Carl 256, I understand where you're coming from with this. Because this is... I mean, it sounds like you're a bigger Zelda fan than me. This... Breath of the Wild is not a traditional Zelda game, right? And it is not a game that if you love Ocarina of Time and Majora's Mask and Wind Waker and Twilight Princess and even Skyward Sword, it's not something that you are going... And I mean, look, we're going all the way back to, you know, Legend of Zelda, Link to the Past, presumably, Link's Awakening. It's cut from a different cloth altogether. You know, and
cut from the bad game cloth.
And I think that, like, when we went from Link's Awakening and Link to the Past and that sort of stuff to Ocarina of Time,
and those are relatively linear dungeon crawling old school RPGs.
That's what I was going to say. Is they are well, they're not RPGs, but they're action adventure games. They're even though one of them's like top down grid based, and the other one is just like a fully 3D game. They are, broadly speaking, they follow the same gameplay pattern, right? Mm-hmm. Dungeons. You unlock items, which unlock new areas. There's a little bit of exploration, a few secrets hidden here and there. There's like items that you fill out your inventory with. But broadly speaking, the difference between, for example, A Link to the Past and Ocarina of Time is just where the camera is.
Yeah.
Broadly speaking. I know that's an oversimplification. Going from Skyward Sword to Breath of the Wild, very different. Very different indeed. You know, an actual literal open world game. You know, exploration, a major part of it. Weapon degradation. You know, there is no hookshot. There's stuff like this that you can kind of just go anywhere from the beginning rather than being like, I clearly need I need the rock's feather to jump across this bit, or I need the hookshot to get to that bit, right?
The problem I had with it was it felt like you could go anywhere,
yeah.
but I felt like I was kind of punished for going anywhere.
Why?
And I wasn't particularly interested in the place I was supposed to be going.
Well, I don't understand that, because the game, the world is rich and full of all sorts of different experiences, varied and diverse creatures and biomes, and like there's something waiting. Like everywhere you go, there's something to do and to find, to uncover and explore. I don't understand that, right? If you just don't like open world adventure exploration games, that's fine.
I don't think that's true. Like, I liked, you know, I like plenty of, you know, Ubisoft style games. I like Skyrim. I liked Oblivion.
I don't understand how you like Skyrim, but you don't like Breath of the Wild.
I don't know.
Is it the weapon degradation?
No, that didn't bother me.
I don't know what it is, because they're broadly, I mean, we're talking about games being cut from different cloth. Breath of the Wild is cut from the same cloth as Skyrim.
Well, there's, I think the world in Breath of the Wild doesn't feel lived in. And that's because there's very few speaking NPCs.
But I think that's by design.
But that's an address I don't like.
That's fine. I mean, you can not like it, but that's not an oversight by the developers.
Skyrim was a game,
it's a post-apocalyptic game. There aren't many people.
Well, I mean, so is Fallout, but there's more people.
No, that's a post-apocalyptic game.
Sure. But like, if Skyrim was a game that was only goblins and frost giants, I'd be like, this game sucks.
Yeah, and then like a few isolated towns. There's like, what, four towns in Breath of the Wild, and one of them's pretty inconsequential anyway. This sounds like it just comes down to taste, right? And I wonder if Carl is on that. But like, let's get back to, maybe we can, Dennis, because I can see your interest is fading. Let's talk about Metal Gear Solid.
Do you mean because I sat back in my chair?
Here he comes, right? Now he's leaning forward. Now his eyes are lighting up.
Do you mean because Metal Gear Solid 5 is the same problem?
Metal Gear Solid 5 is a very different game to the other four. So much 100%. So that a lot of hardcore diehard fans don't really include it in the like oeuvre, right?
Like when I'm among them, and Riley's like, we should play Metal Gear Solid. I was like, we can stop after 4.
Yeah,
5 is a fun game, but...
And you're, what you've always said is you should play Metal Gear Solid 5. You'd probably enjoy it. It is a fun action stealth game.
It's much more like Hitman than it is like a Metal Gear Solid game.
All right, and I like Hitman.
I actually think you'd like it.
So, let's say that you don't like Metal Gear Solid 5, but you are a rusted-on Kojima Metal Gear Solid fan, right? How do you deal with the feelings of not liking something that is so of such cultural importance to you and is so huge to you that you feel like it's a life goal failure when you don't play it?
Yeah, I mean, that is kind of how I felt about 5.
Yeah. Right, I was going to try to draw a longbow and say like, this is how I ended up feeling about Pokemon. Right, when I stopped playing Pokemon, because I love Pokemon so much, and then it came out, and I was like, but I think that was just more growing up than anything else.
Yeah, because those Sword and Shield, despite all, like, is very much the same game. Yeah.
I don't want to knock again adults who play Pokemon. It's fine if you do. Obviously, Pokemon's a great game and a wonderful franchise.
Well, they play it differently. They play it very differently than
exactly. It's just something that didn't transfer to adulthood for me. So there's no judgment here if you're an adult who likes Pokemon. Good on you.
What Riley means when he says we grew up is Riley and I both bought Sword and Shield, excited to play it, and the base game is just too easy.
Yep.
And I don't remember it being like that because I was 8 or whatever, exactly. And I was an idiot.
Yeah. Anyway, let's talk about this meaning like a life goal failure when a beloved franchise drops something that you just can't stand.
I mean, and that kind of happened to me. Like when I was first playing Metal Gear Solid, you must know how excited I would have been when it came out.
Metal Gear Solid 5. I imagine this is, yeah. I mean, this is probably the sort of game that you blocked out a week on your calendar to play.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And the first time I played it, didn't finish it.
That's huge.
I sent it somewhere through and was like,
this is exactly what Carl's doing with Breath of the Wild.
I got a lot further in, but I was like, I'll get around to it. And it was because there comes a point halfway through the game where it's just like, replay all these missions for fun before you can finish the game. And I was like, why?
Yeah, I don't want to do that.
I mean, it is still fun, but it's like playing Hitman. It's like, do this mission, but do it without any guns.
Or yeah.
Yep. Do this mission, but do it as so-and-so. And like all this like, kind of like weird bits. And you like have to do that. And like the game becomes very, very bloated towards the end. And the story's not compelling. And it's not interesting. And it introduces a bunch of new characters for no reason. And it's not a good story. It's not a good game.
So how do you deal with that? Let's talk about it in terms of a life goal failure.
I went back and did it, and I don't know if you're... It depends on how far you are. If you're 2 hours into Breath of the Wild, and you're going to have to put 50 more in to finish it, but if it's going to nag on you, maybe just do it. Like, people, like, maybe just set aside the time. But is it going to feel satisfying if you do it as if it's a chore?
I think... There is something. I'm one of these people's like, if you can just tick it off the list and be done with it, And here's the thing about Breath of the Wild.
Like, you've played many a game. Like, you mentioned when you had PlayStation Now, you were like, I'm not enjoying this game. Why am I playing this?
Yeah. And I was just like, I need to finish it. I'm this far in. But no, you can stop. But if you feel like, if you want to just, I don't know. Saying that, like, you want to watch a video to see everything, I don't know how that's even possible. Because
don't do that.
Like this, but there's so much in the game that you're going to miss out. Because most of the magic of the game is like, I wonder what happens if I throw this barrel here and then set it on fire. Right? Like, that's the game. You're not going to see it in the video. If you just want to see the story content, it's not a very long game. There are four bosses and a main boss fight. Like, there are four quote-unquote dungeons, and they are not hard.
There's only four of those?
There's only four. There's four divine beasts.
I got, like, halfway through the game.
There's four divine beasts and then the main fight. And you don't even need... Technically, you don't even need to beat the other four bosses. Like, I don't know if you've ever seen a speedrun. You can you can fight Ganon... Day one.
You can go and get him right away.
You can go and get him straight away, right? It's difficult, but it's possible. So, like, Carl, if you just want any percent, right? Any percent, go and beat the four divine beasts. Go and get a couple of, like, shrines, just the obvious shrines when you're cutting about, right? Just to get the, like, your heart container, enough heart containers to beat Ganon. And then just go and beat Ganon. And then you're done. And you don't have to play
it again. Story is still 50 hours, though.
But that's not... I don't see how it's 50 hours, man.
Because main plus extras, which is how most people play the game, is 97 hours.
I don't see how the main... I don't think that...
Because you're editing all... This is a problem I have with you. You're editing all the parts of the game out there just wandering around fields.
But there's none of that if you don't want there to be.
There is. There's you not. Still have to just, like, walk to places. It takes forever.
That I don't think that's true. You get up on a watchtower. You see where the other watchtowers are. You go and get them. You unlock the entire map. You know where the divine beasts are. You get in your horse. You ride to them once, which unlocks a fast travel point, right? And then you beat that boss.
Are you going to have enough equipment to do that?
Yeah, of course. What? Yes, obviously. Because, I mean, there's equipment all over the place. It breaks all the time by design, right? Once you get 13 heart containers, go and get the Master Sword. Done. Right? I don't think... What was it? 56 hours? What?
50, it says. That's main story alone.
If you just want to play the story, I don't see how that's even possible, man. I don't see how you could get... 50 hours is like bordering on... What's completionist?
188.
But that's including all the Korok seeds. No one's doing that.
Completionist, sorry.
to do like all the shrines, I could see that being close to 100 hours or 120 of those things, and you got to find all of them, and then you got to get all the armor and stuff as well, all the different outfits and things. I don't know, man. I feel like this is very, very doable in a short amount of time. Like, you can play it as though it is just a traditional Zelda game. Just do the four quote unquote dungeons, a couple of the shrines, get the Master Sword from the forest, and go and fight Ganon. My opinion, which is coloured by the fact that I think it's an absolute all-timer, is just get through it. Dennis's opinion, because he thinks the game because Dennis has no taste and thinks the game is bad.
Ditch it and play Metal Gear Solid 1 instead.
There you go. We all knew it was coming.
It's my advice.
We all knew it was coming. Can I interest you in Metal Gear Solid 1? Available now on GOG.com.
For what, £3, I'm sure?
It's not very much money, no. Anyway... Tune in next week for Uncle Susan's question, I guess.
It's going to be so good. Oh, you're not goodness. Like, I read it. You're not ready. You're not ready for Uncle Susan's question.
It's ridiculous. I can't.
Next
time on Smar, a question
from... How could you, Riley? I didn't. And we're fighting. Then we have 3 seconds to stop the reactor exploding. It's going to be great.
Oh, wow. Really? We're turning into full on thriller drama.
Now, yeah.
All right. Excellent. Who would play you in a thriller drama TV show?
Josh Gad.
Let's have a look at this fellow. Josh Gad.
Am I wrong?
Oh, Dennis, this is not the first time you've been asked this question. Oh, no. Dear. Yeah, that is. Yep. Voice of Olaf.
Yep. He's in the Book of Mormon.
Yep.
He's LeFou in Beauty and the Beast.
Yep. And he looks a lot like you, dude.
A lot like me.
A lot like you. Yep. Little scraggly beard, kind of curly hair up on top. Yep. His glasses are a bit cooler than yours, though. Anyway.
Right.
Josh Gad.
Hugo Boss glasses, thank you very much.
What, his or yours?
Mine.
Okay. No, he's... Yeah, that's perfect. Who would it be for me? I always used to say Brendan Fraser, but I think he's a bit old now.
Yeah, he does not look good anymore.
Yeah. Rami Malek?
No.
Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. I don't want
to. Brendan Fraser's aged.
I don't want to sound like one of those, you know, 10 celebs you won't believe, number five, how they've aged. Brendan Fraser has not aged well. Oh my goodness.
Well, he's 50. Give him a break.
Is that what I'm going to look like?
I got bad news for you, dude. You do not look like you're in George of the Jungle now, so I don't think
all right,
so.
Mate, settle down. Brendan Fraser, like, we look a little alike. We've got that, like, the wide eyes, the wide kind of googly eyes, you know?
The top half of your face is a little bit alike.
No, he's got big fat lips as well.
All of the rest of your... I think... people with mustaches is how I... Vincent Price, maybe?
You know, this really annoys me, man. It's a noise. Like, someone with... You posted that meme of the guy with the butterfly. People see a picture of a person with a mustache. Oh, it's Riley. All people with mustache look the same. Okay.
You do have Vincent Price's mustache.
Do you know who it is? Do you know what it's going to be, actually?
Huh.
Alex Hur Anderson.
Alex Hur?
H with an O with a slash through it. Just type in Ivor the Boneless Actor. That's who it's going to be.
What? Does it look anything like you?
What are you talking about? It looks exactly like me.
Well, it looks a little bit like
me. It looks a lot like me. Get out of town.
I don't know if you should go for the braids, man.
No, no, no. The braids, definitely not. But, like, just look. There's a picture of him, like, halfway down. Yeah. You know. And for those of you playing along at home, Ivar the Boneless Actor, Alex, I don't know how to say it, Anderson. From Vikings. You might have seen him. Good looking bloke, obviously. We look exactly alike, mate.
We look exactly alike. He looked like.
He's a good looking fella.
Why do you say Rami Malek?
I don't know. Megan maintains that I kind of look like Rami Malek. Just because, again, the googly eyes, but I don't think it's quite there.
You do have quite. You are a little bug-eyed, yeah.
I mean, yeah.
He has incredibly wide cheekbones. I don't think that's you.
Maybe Steve Buscemi then, if we're going for googly eyes.
Steve Buscemi.
Do you think we get Buscemi to play me? He's a bit old.
Let's see a young Steve Buscemi though, like in Pulp Fiction, maybe.
I'm not lanky and gangly though. Like, I'm not spindly.
I think we get that music band T-shirt on Steve Buscemi. You could pass as your current age.
Look like the Bush.
Hello, fellow kids.
All right.
Yeah, I'm Josh Gad through and through.
Yeah, man. I mean, that's an absolute slam dunk.
Or the other one is if you look up Professor Hulk, Avengers.
Oh yeah, you had that as your picture.
Google Professor Hulk Avengers, the third picture where he's like sitting in the diner with the cardigan.
Yes,
also looks a lot.
It
like
does
me.
Look like you. It does look a lot like you. Yeah, exactly. The glasses, just a large man with glasses.
Large man with glasses and often a beard.
Yeah.
Like, look at the size of his hands.
I tell you what, can I tell you something, Dennis? You're lucky you need glasses.
Oh, dude, I know. I'd wear them if I didn't need them.
Yeah, you would get a pair of those fake ones. He's taking them off now. Yeah.
Awful. I look like I'm not allowed in your schools.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
All right, we're done. Charles, that me River.
Patreon.com.
I've been playing Age of Empires. We've been playing, Dennis.
League Legends.
Yeah, great. Excellent. All right, we'll be back next week with more with Uncle Susan's question. Let's go. Patreon.com/Half-Hours History. And while you're there, patreon.com/ScrimeyRiver.
ScrimeyRiver. And then ScrimeyRiver.com. Use your code. Get yourself a... what was the card called again? The Claw? Something of the Claw?
Zerillion of the Claw.
Zerillion of the Claw. Zerillion Just the buy claw. Any card with a name Claw in it. I don't care. As long as you use code SMART.
Dragon Claw.
Stay fresh, cheese bags, unless you're only paying us $2 a month, in which case, stay stale. Later, folks.